Today, the topic I want to speak to you about is when you're going to a new location and you're going to meet friends and family. One thing that's good about us as far as friends and family, one thing we learn is to be forgiving. So I said, well, God, I don't know exactly what to say and how to say it, but I know that it's family. So however it goes, I know you'll be forgiving. And so the title of the message today is, we are all God's children. We are all our Heavenly Father's children. And when we look at life through those eyes, we can understand that we all are different. My grandmother told my wife, when we were about getting ready to marry, she said, young lady, we don't have in-laws in our family. You are my granddaughter. We don't have in-laws. She said, no, we have outlaws, but not in-laws. We're a family. And so that stuck with me, and my wife does feel very much that she's a part of my family. And so today what I want to go through is, since we all are our Heavenly Father's children, I want to say something hopefully that will be encouraging to us, because one thing we all have in common, as we were saying today, as we listen today, we have in common the reality that we all believe in truth. And as we heard, sorry to hear about the temporary sleep that our sister in Christ has, but, you know, as she said, you know, if it's not in the Bible, see, the truth is in the Bible. And that's why we are all based on that as far as the truth. And so I'm going to talk about the truth from a point of view of our reality, how God has allowed me in the past 2 months to see that we are a light to the world and that seeds have been planted. And the truth originated with Jesus Christ. Many of us, most of us, I see looking at my audience, most of you know about the Plain Truth magazine. But that's something that was revealed by Jesus Christ. But the origin of truth is through Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am life, the life. And so when we see how Jesus Christ looks at it, it means that we should see ourselves as family and we're connected by truth, which is the seed of eternal life. And as Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, our Father said that he sent his Son into the world. God so loved the world that he sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that all the world through him might be saved. And so when we look at it that way, we realize not only are we friends, not only are we the children of our Father, but the whole world is. And that is a wonderful thing about our understanding. And when we have that understanding, I want to turn now to John chapter 14. I'll read what it says there. Let us go first. I'm going to skip, since I somewhat quoted John 14:6 about Jesus Christ saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let us go to Galatians, please. Galatians chapter 3. Because in Galatians chapter 3, as we know, the Apostle Paul was called to go to the Gentiles. And the very message that Jesus Christ gave to his disciples, who were basically Jews, he prepared the Apostle Paul to give that same message to the Gentiles. And he knew that those who were born, like the Peter, he understood that they had to have training and teaching, had to come to understand that Jesus Christ died for all mankind, all human beings. So here let us notice in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes of Jesus Christ has been evident set forth, crucified among you. So Jesus is our key. Jesus is the truth. And so that makes us, as we continue to read here, let's notice in verse 16, it says, even as Abraham believed God and was accounted to him for righteousness. Verse 7, now you therefore, know you therefore that they are which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Verse 8, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen or justify the Gentiles, then through faith preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in you shall all nations be blessed. Verse 9, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So it means we all are Gentiles, Jews, it doesn't matter. We all are the children of God. And when I say that, I don't only mean those of us who have been called. I mean the whole world. It says God so loved the world. So God has a plan. He's concerned about the whole world. And so we all are different, different in height, different in shades of color, different in mentality as far as intelligence as is measured. All of us here, I can tell all of us are very brilliant. Because you see, we where we should be. So I can say all of us in that sense, you know, just jokingly speaking. But we know, and what I'm going to show you today, is that, as it says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, speaking to the Gentiles, Christ in us is the hope of glory. See, it's Christ in us that is the hope of glory. And I want us to notice also here in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19, because it says, Paul speaking to the Gentiles at Galatians, my little children whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. See, the goal is for Jesus Christ to be formed in each of us because we are going to be the children of our Father. Our Father in heaven, we say that every day. As he said, pray, our Father which art in heaven. And so Jesus Christ is the truth. Well, I like to say it this way. Jesus Christ is the plain truth. You see, that was not originated by, I say, in times past. Jesus Christ spoke plainly. As we read in John chapter 11, where Jesus Christ, he was going back because Lazarus had died. And he finally said, he spoke plainly, Lazarus is dead. So you see, when the truth is plain, it makes us know, there's no question. And we can be very certain that it is the truth of our Father in Jesus Christ. So you know what happens is the truth gives us comfort. The truth gives us hope. And with that hope and with that comfort, that helps us to get through life. No lies. And so as we continue today, what I want to show you is something that I learned, and I want us to turn now to 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we notice, I want to read verses 1 through 2 and 3, and then maybe verse 4. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, and all the saints which are in Achaia. Verse 2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. The truth is comforting. Verse 4, who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. See, the truth is comforting, very comforting, the truth is. And what I want to share with you today is we are begat, you know, as it says in John 1:18, we are begat by the truth. The truth is the seed, James 1:18. And then in the parable in Matthew 13, verse 23, we realize that we see the seed that's planted in good ground. There's understanding that comes from that seed, and we grow. But what I want you to see today, I want to tell you a story about a name. It's a true story by the name of Joe. And Joe is a person that through a mechanism that God uses human beings as mechanisms to pass on the truth, whether or not it's through their voice or through their writing. The truth is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. We had a church member in Huntsville. I'll just call her JM. JM takes care of those who are sick. That's part of her lifestyle, and that's how she gets her jobs, and she goes and stays in the homes of those who are not able to take care of themselves. So this past summer, around about June, she had put an ad in the paper that she wanted to take care of someone. So nothing happened for the whole month of June. Then in July, she just said, well, you know, I guess God doesn't want me to have a job. But in July, she received this phone call. And the phone call came in, and the person says, you know, my father is not doing well at all. I need someone to come stay in. She said, no, I don't live in anymore. But she said, but you know what I'll do? I'll pray about it, and I'll call you back. So JM prayed about it, and the next day she called back. Because, you know, I listened to you and I heard the intensity in your voice, and I knew you really needed somebody and you really wanted somebody to come and help out with your father. So I've changed my mind. I'm going to come and live in with you. So she went to live in with him, and as they were there and talking, and I'll call his name Joe. Joe had a daughter, and Joe's daughter's name was Vivian. And so naturally, since God was in this, Vivian and JM just clicked right away. And she was so happy that she had someone living in with her father, because Vivian is a school teacher and she does other things, helping out. So she couldn't be with her father all the time. And so as JM stayed there talking to the elderly person who was about, I thought 84, but I found out later that he's 85. As a matter of fact, he turned 86 during October. He said, I don't know how the conversation came up, but he said, you know, I remember the plain truth over 60 years ago. And then she told him, well, you know, Albert Foy, my minister, he went out to Ambassador College, and he knows about the plain truth and all that. He said, look, I want to meet that man. So she came back and told me, well, you know, Joe wants to meet you, because throughout his life, he's already known many things about the truth. See, the plain truth originates with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the author of the plain truth. And Jesus Christ spoke plainly. So I say, sure, I'll go and meet him. And so I went and visited him the first time. He's a very interesting man. He's a man that's been very successful in life. He grew up and didn't really have a college education, but became an inventor. He invented manufacturing equipment for the oil field. And as I started to talk with him, he and I had some things in common. He had invented a machine that does automatically paint the legs on the oil well platform that goes down in the bottom of the ocean. So he invented that machine. And so he told me, oh yeah, one time I did some work for Aramco. I said, Aramco in Saudi Arabia? I said, oh yeah, I used to work for Aramco. As an engineer, I used to travel around the world working for Aramco as an engineer. And so he and I continued to talk, and I found out he was a man of much character. And he was a solid man. He was a good leader. He had a lot of integrity. He was an honest man. And he had built this company. He was a successful man. And as I listened to him, I realized that this man believes in basic fundamental truths of life. And he and I had a good time talking. As a matter of fact, I got so engaged with him in talking. And I knew that, you know, he was there and he had his tubes on, but his mind was very sharp at 86 years old. And so I said to him, well, you know, I'm so pleased. And then he told me about what he believed. He believed in God. And he said, the closest thing I believe in is what I heard 60 years ago, and I believe in what I see that's plain in the Bible. He had two children he raised. One turned out to be a school teacher who retired, I guess, recently. As a son, who's a structural engineer. And naturally has his business that he built. And as I talked to him, we had a lot of things in common about life and about success. And he's very brokenhearted about the division and attitudes and lack of character in our country, because he loves America. And so when I finished talking to him, I had gone there just to say, well, hello. And I was going to ask him, when I got there, well, may I pray for you? But he and I got so engaged about life and about character, about people, about living, about God, until I forgot to ask him, could I pray for you? And so I looked around, and you know, he's sitting in the chair, and I left after an hour and a half. I looked at time, where did the time go? Because as we sat down, I said, well, you know, I'd like to know how long can you sit here and talk. I see, you know, you have cancer, and I want to be respectful to you. He said, I'll let you know. He's that type of man. He's a man that, you'll see later, he's a man that of honesty, integrity, and truth, and straightforward. That's the type of person he is. And so after about an hour and a half, he said, you know, this peanut brain can't hold anymore. And so I got up, and I left, and, you know, I said bye to him. And then I wrote him back a letter, and I'm going to read this letter to you. I said, this is a personal note to Joe. This is a note of thanks, apology, request and appreciation. I'm well pleased that you invited me, a stranger, into your home because of JM and your fond memory of listening to Mr. HWA. I was glad to meet your daughter. She's a delightful person and obviously loves you very, very much. I commend her dedication and achievement of being a retired teacher. All retired teachers have a special place in my heart. As I mentioned on my visit, I wanted to be a teacher from a child. However, my life direction did not take me down that path. You are a caring, kind, gentle man of honesty, integrity, tenacity, hard work, much common sense, with outstanding technical expertise. This is my impression of Joe. I'm sharing it with you because I wrote back to let him know what I thought of him. As I read your notes for your obituary, he's also writing his own obituary because he lost his wife to cancer last year. And so he knows the agony of that beast. I say, as I read your notes for your obituary you're writing, I was struck and impressed with your ability as a self-trained engineer, inventor, and a successful businessman. Then I asked him a question, did you read the booklet on 7 Laws of Success? Your achievements have left an example and legacy that can encourage, help, and give hope to many. My request of you is to please give me permission to use excerpts from your obituary and our visits to share with others in my sermons and speeches, etc. So I'm sharing it with you today. I apologize to you for my intention not being met to ask and offer your blessings according to James, to ask God's blessings according to James 5:14. Truthfully, I got caught up in the joy of visiting with you that I forgot to mention said scripture. Years ago, you probably heard Mr. HWA speak of God's blessings and healings through prayer. If you desire, I would be more than happy to come and visit you again and do as instructed in James 5. JM is a sweet person, a good member of our congregation. We are adding you to our church prayer list. Certainly you are in my prayers often. I was encouraged and inspired to spend that special time with you. You were bold and positive with a very sound mind. You reflected to me your godly faith and grit determination as you battle the ugly monster of cancer. I appreciate your example. Again, thank you for giving me an encouraging visit. I pray God's continued mercy and comfort in your time of trial. Albert Foy. That's from my heart because that's the way I felt from visiting him. And so as I went back and talked with him later, I went back on the second visit because I wanted to make sure that I ask him and we pray. And so we got there, and this time I had with me my friend and my fellow minister, Mr. Maceo Hampton. When I graduated from university, Ambassador College University in 1971, I was sent to New York, New Jersey, and the person who was training, you know, he came out ministerial assistants, ministerial trainee. Mr. Maceo Hampton was the man I began my training under in 1971. So we were good friends. And so he was here after the Feast of Tabernacles we had, and so he was with me. So I set up a visit, go back and see Joe again. So when we got there, you know, Joe was not as strong as before, but his mind was alert. And he was able to talk to us. And I told him, I said, well, I'm glad you invited me back. And I told him about Mr. Hampton being a trainer for me when I first came out of Ambassador College. And we spent some time together. And as always, he's going to say, because see, a person who knows where they're going, their focus, they don't want you to guess about what they are thinking. And so after we sat there for a few moments talking to him, I took the opportunity, Mr. Hampton and I did, to let him know, because he's not truly affiliated with any church. He raised his children up in a church, and he told me he was formerly from another church, a Catholic church, but when he learned about the truth, started looking for the truth, he just put that aside, and he said he became a Baptist. So I wondered whether or not he had become a Baptist deacon. And as I talked to him, he said no. Then I realized he doesn't really have any true association with any church. But his daughter told me, what you believe is the closest thing that my father adheres to. And so since he was a man going through the trial. Mr. Hammond suggested, we suggested together, we read some scriptures to him. But he's a scientist. So we read scriptures to him, like in Psalm 33 and Psalm 145 and Psalm 147. And then naturally read to him also in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 about what's coming in the future. And we were very positive to him. Very positive. You see where I'm going? We all are God's children. God has planted seeds that we don't even know about. I didn't know about it. This kind of changed my perspective of how I look at people, how I look at the world, even how I look at those of us here. We're family. You know, we are family. We're offshoots of the same organization. But then as I started talking to him, I realized that he is a man that the seed was planted over 60 years ago. He never attended any feast. He never attended any Sabbath services. And that got me to thinking, what God says, he truly means. Our Father and Jesus Christ, they love all mankind. They love every single human being around the world. They love all those in China, in the Middle East. That's their capacity. That's why Jesus Christ died. Because they love human beings and they want all human beings to come to understanding. See, understanding comes from Jesus Christ. You can have a lot of knowledge. Knowledge is not the same thing as understanding. Jesus Christ was with his disciples for 3.5 years and they did not understand. If you go back and read back in Luke chapter 24, after Jesus Christ had come to the women and told the women, "Well, women, I want you to go tell those disciples that, you know, I've risen," and they headed back. Then, or I think around about the 24th verse of Luke chapter 24, you find that he began to tell them all those things that are written in the Psalms and the prophets about him. And he gave them understanding. See, understanding is the key, brethren. You can have knowledge, but we grow in understanding, and understanding is a miracle from God. As we understand and grow in understanding, that miracle doesn't come from our puffed up knowledge. Knowledge puffs up. Understanding comes from a miracle from God by his Holy Spirit that works in us. And this is what I began to see more clearly as I talked with Joe. Before I get to my conclusion, I want to mention that I received a call from Joe's daughter, Vivian. She said, "Mr. Foy, you know, I just had seen him last week or so. This coming Thursday, my father's going to be put in hospice. I want you to come see my father because I know he'll appreciate seeing you and talking to you." So I realized that. She said, "When can you come?" I said, "I'll be there tomorrow." And she was so happy. She had heard I was coming to Tyler. And so she didn't know when I was coming. I said, "No, I'm coming tomorrow," which is this past Thursday. And naturally, they're giving him pain medication. But to show you the type of man he is, I got there. He was glad to see me. He said, "You know, I don't know whether I want you to pray for me or not, because last time you prayed for me, you see where I am now? I'm in hospice." I said, "Well, you know, God is doing his business." See, that's the type of humor. That's the type of sharp mind he has. And we went to visit him, and Mr. Hampton and I did, and talked to him, and shook my hand, and prayed for him again, asking God to comfort him, give him peace, and help him to go through, because it's difficult for him. His wife went last year, and his children. And while I was there, I noticed something. As I was visiting with his daughter, and also J.M., Samson and I were sitting around his bed as he fall off to sleep to come give him pain medicine. I noticed her wiping her eyes. She was so happy. She said, "You don't know. You come to see my father, but it means so much to me, the school teacher, that you're here." I said, "Well, we're here because we want to be here. They are God's children too." When we see the world through the eyes that all the world, all the human beings, all people belong to our Father in Jesus Christ, and in His wisdom and in His time, He has a plan to make sure that everyone is going to have the same opportunity that each of us has to learn, to grow, to be instructed, to fellowship. That's going to happen. I don't get involved in technical details of what's going to happen and when. I don't bother too much about that. Because a lot of times I find out and I listen to people, I'm a technical man. I'm an engineer. I don't make very many assumptions about things. But people do when it comes to religion. And so I just don't get into those areas of talking. Jesus Christ said, no man knows the day or the hour. So I believe Him. It's in the Bible. That's what she said, right? It's in the Bible. Right? It's in the Bible. And so that's what I focus on. The fundamentals and the basics. But I think it's good to exercise your mind, talk about things. I enjoy doing that too. That's fine. That's fun. But just don't take it too serious. Because the basics are, that's what counts. The basics of love. Giving and sharing and caring. Because we all are God's children. And so as we were still there, Joe said, you know, I think I'd like to take a ride in a wheelchair and go around. And so Vivian said, well, no, Dad, somebody else will be here later on and give you a ride. I said, no. Where's the wheelchair? I'll give him a ride. So I went by his bedside and I said, Joe, I'll give you a ride if you bring the wheelchair up. He said, now you're sounding like a used car salesman. You're going to give me a ride. I said, well, no, not really. I said, but we want to help. So it didn't turn out. I didn't get a chance to give him a ride in the wheelchair. The final scripture I want to read today is a reality that has come to me more deeply, that the world is in a turmoil and confusion the way it is determined to be because of the God of the world, that He's the one that's responsible. But then I looked at my experience that I'm sharing with you to make me realize how much I need God's help to pray for the world. Pray for the people of the world. To pray for my family. To pray for my friends. And to pray for all the trouble that God will take care of. It is His business guiding and directing things. It's our business to grow in grace and knowledge and truth and preparing ourselves to be those who can say, we've always loved you, but not like God did. So we prepared us and we prepared ourselves and we listened and we understood and we went through trials and tests and difficulties, but we hung in there because we knew the plain truth of Jesus Christ and of His way and what He wants us to do, how He wants us to live our lives. So we hung in there. We didn't give up. The final verse I want to read to you today is found in Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 4. I call it the dry bones resurrection. Because I believe Joe is going to be in the dry bones resurrection. And I imagine there are many others. That's not my call, but I'm telling you from my heart. From what I said to you today, I believe he's going to be in the dry bones resurrection. He didn't have a chance to have a minister to talk to him, go to Sabbath services, go to Feast of Tabernacles, keep the Sabbath and do all these things. He didn't have that. But he had the seed of truth planted in his mind over 60 years ago that gave him the capacity with his tenacity to be a very successful man. And a lot of people love him. It's probably going to be an article in the Houston Chronicle about him because he had been so successful until a lot of big companies stole patents from him. We talked about that a little bit, but we are all our Heavenly Father's children. We don't have any need to be puffed up or vain. We don't have any need to think, well, I'm special over here. You're not special. I'm this. It doesn't matter about that. God wants us to have unity and love and peace. Ezekiel 37, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. And caused me to pass by them round about and said, behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, you know. See, God knows what He is doing. He knows when to call who. Because just like Joe did not go to any other church, well, he went to a Baptist church, but he was probably too strong, so they didn't ever make him a deacon. He was certainly well qualified in the position of a deacon. So the Lord knows. Again, he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear you the word of the Lord. Hear the truth. Joe has the fundamental, basic truth seed in his mind. Whenever it's going to be, it doesn't matter to me about when the dry bones resurrection is going to come. The key is, we all will see Joe again. Because all of us are our Heavenly Father's children.